Hello, I am Randy Andrews, and today I'll be presenting a special interview with Rolf Kent, the composer of the movie Downsizing, appearing in theaters today. We will talk about his career in composing, how he goes through his process, and what future projects he even has done. It's all that and more today on Soundtrack Alley. Today, I'm presenting my interview with Rolf Kent, the composer for the movie known as Downsizing. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Hello, I'm Randy Andrews, and I'm here with Rolf Kent. Rolf, it's good to have you on my show.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah. How did you start into the composing world?
It's something I always wanted to do. I think as as a small child, I come from a non-musical family, so no one played music. Everyone was thought they were science-based, and I was I grew up as the lone artist in the family. And but at the age of five, I saw a band. I saw the orchestra pit, if you can call it that, at a local theatre. Had just piano, bass, and drums, and I was mesmerised. So I wanted to play music ever after that, but yeah, I was terrible at practicing. So but I loved the ideas. Mm-hmm. So I gravitated towards composing, and so it was. I think it was always in me to that desire.
That's really good. So did you go to a special school for composing, or where did you end up?
Oh, no, I actually didn't study music formally. I just always played, always wrote, and was always in bands, generally terrible bands, sometimes quite funny bands, but terrible. But at the age of about 12, started realizing that the associations you had with film music you had instant associations. So you don't have that sort of idea of our song. You know, you look back at a certain song and it brings back a certain memory. Mm-hmm. And yet, with an original piece of film music, you have an immediate memory because you saw the film and it brings back images of the film. So at around the age of 12, it dawned on me that was great music to write. To write music for films, and on top of which, I got into musical theatre and movie scores, and this idea of writing music for something made the most sense. That was very exciting to me. So from the age of about 12, I wanted to do that. So it was always a dream, but I had no idea how to achieve that dream. But I longed to do it, and you know, John Barry was a big hero of mine. He was a mysterious character. I didn't know what he looked like or anything, but he did the music to Out of Africa and the James Bond films. Mm-hmm. And it had such a sort of character and charisma, that music. And so I really didn't know how to get into it other than be in a band and be successful enough to become like in The Police, like Stuart Copeland became a film score composer, having been very successful in The Police. And I thought, well, that's the model to follow. But it clearly didn't work because I was never in a good band. But I just worked my way up from the bottom and did industrial videos needed music. And then students needed short music for their short films. And I just sort of worked my way up.
That's really fantastic. So what inspiration have you found to use in many of your film scores?
Well, the inspiration, I mean, partly, you know, the gift is the film. The film provides inspiration. And it's the combination of the film and the discussion with the director, because the film is not complete, obviously. It doesn't have music. And so quite often it's a discussion with the director that generates the thing that needs to happen. And that's inspiring. So it's not like you have a completely blank page. You always have an awareness that something needs to happen. You know, this scene needs to be exciting in an airy and fizzy kind of way, or this scene needs to be dramatic in a dark and malevolent and brooding kind of way. And that is that's inspiring. Apart from that, you know, I've always found audio exciting. I mean, from radio plays and the way they create the sort of textures and backgrounds and ambiences in radio to movie scores to all sorts of things. So I'll hear the bus brakes screeching, and to me that's an interesting musical sound, and maybe I can sample it and use it in some way. So I find inspiration all over the place.
That's really fantastic. I really like your process of how you can find a piece of music and say, all right, this is helping me influence my scoring. So do you have, say, a favorite director that you like to work with?
I am very lucky. I work with about five or six directors who keep coming back to me. And they are absolutely all favorite directors because there's that rapport, there's that friendship and that understanding, and that sort of sympathy and support. So, every time you write a new piece of music, you're showing something of yourself, and you don't want that sort of shot down too quickly. You don't want to be, it's a slightly vulnerable position to be in. So when you have that nice rapport, that friendship with the director, that is very helpful, because you feel safe in that relationship, and you acknowledge that you can make mistakes, but and you can go down wrong roads, but you'll stick with each other and make it right and get there in the end. So, the directors I tend to work with are people like Mark Waters and Alexander Payne and Richard Shepard. And they're absolutely all favorites. And Jason Reitman, of course, has been a terrific director to work for. Mm-hmm. In terms of a favorite director I would like to work with, I don't know yet. You know, the fact is that there are lots of people who do inspiring work, but you don't know if you're going to have a good friendship with them. So, you know, it's best to wait and see. Some directors may do terrific work, but if you don't really gel, then that's not really a good relationship to get into.
Yeah, that's very true. So here's a tough question for you. Who is your favorite composer this week?
It's the funny thing is, and I'm not alone in this as composers. I don't really listen to music that much.
Okay.
Because it takes over all my working life. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I need to let those neurons relax and not be fired up by music all the time. A constant favorite of mine is Thomas Newman. I just find him so fresh, and I find him inspiring.
That's really good, because I've asked that question several times to different composers, and they each come up with a different answer. And it is a tough question, because I can understand that if you're a composer, your world is composing. So when you step away from that world, you have to pretty much shut it off, so that way you can concentrate on life.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, well, what I would say about Thomas is that when I listen to his stuff, it actually shows me a completely different way of handling a problem than I have. Would have come up with, and I find that very energizing.
That's really good. So, if you had a dream job of composing for a major production from the past or even the present, what would it be and why?
Let's see. I would have loved to have done Marvin Hamlisch did a Bond film. I would have loved to have done that Bond film because it was the first one that John Barry hadn't done in a while, and it would have been very interesting to do, you know, to follow in his footsteps. So I suppose that would have been interesting. Outside of that, the problem is when you think of the great films that you just go, oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to score that? Well, actually, I suppose in the same spirit, Never Say Never Again. One of the things that really seemed lacking in that film is it didn't have the sort of John Barry flavor. Mm-hmm. And so that would have been one where, admittedly, I wouldn't be writing as myself. I'd be writing to sort of trying to emulate the great man, the governor. Mm-hmm. But I think that would have been good for that film.
Oh, yeah, that's a unique look on that. So with your new film coming out called Downsizing, did you have any influence to help you with creating a score for this, like, comedy kind of sci-fi action, not really action movie, but sci-fi thinking piece? That's kind of a comedy.
It's hard to say what it is, because it definitely has a light touch at times. The tag sci-fi is a very tricky fit, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. it's not, so you really can't say sci-fi action. It's science fiction in that it imagines a technology that doesn't exist, but that's really it. So your question is really what references did I have, or what inspired me?
Yeah, what kind of influenced you to, say, create the sound for Downsizing?
Oh, well, that was very much based on discussions with Alexander. The film needed to be, let's see, I'm trying to think of what our actual discussions were around. Alexander wanted it to be beautiful and classical and not feel like a film score. And I, of course, always want to tell the story as best I can, you know, to help in telling the story.
Oh, yeah.
As best I can, while still bringing some personality, some character to the music. And eventually, what I ended up using as a sort of point of orientation is a sort of Stanley Kubrickian approach of what is it like to put, what would it be like to put a classical piece of music against this picture, rather than a piece of rather than just score it, how would it feel if it had classical music against it, and then write that classical music. Unlike Stanley Kubrick, who would find it, I was given the job to create music, and so that's what ended up being the sort of philosophy of it was, and when you look at the images, then some of them are very look very Kubrick to me. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a certain sort of approach to the camera work and the composition that feels very 2001 to me, and so the idea of doing something interesting in juxtaposition against that was a great, it seemed to me a great idea. I think when I think of 2001, you get this interesting sense of separation between eras, that you're listening to a Strauss waltz, which is from, what is that from? The late 1800s, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're looking at an image set at least 100 years or 150 years in the future, and so in a way we're doing the same again. Admittedly, the world we're looking at looks very much like our own world, but it has this technology, has this science fiction element to it, and so to juxtapose that world of modern future technology with a very classical sound creates an interesting separation between the classic and the futuristic. And so I think that may be one of the qualities that sort of made it make sense. And I think in both cases, it's also about representing the humanity in a new environment. And humanity is very important to me. And quite often when I'm writing a theme, I will be thinking not so much about saying anything specific, but actually just representing something very human. You know, the fragility and the what the you know the fact that there's a heart beating inside a person. You know, it occurred on About Schmidt, which was another Alexander Payne film, that I struggled to find a theme for the main character for a while because I didn't like him. And then I thought, what about his humanity? And then when I started writing about from that perspective, I found a theme which was actually very sympathetic, but didn't really say anything one way or another. It just said, look, there's a human being here, fallible, making mistakes. And I think that's something that I really embrace is putting humanity and a sort of very human energy into music.
Well, I really appreciate that. When thinking about the different scores that you've done, I was, really impressed that you had done About Schmidt, you had done Kate and Leopold, and my wife was very excited that you had done Kate and Leopold.
Oh,
And
great.
she's a wonderful fan of that movie, and she loves the music in it. And she's
Oh, I'm very
very,
glad.
huh?
I'm very glad. I really enjoyed working on that film, and I still think it's a decent piece of work, actually.
Yeah, and it has a very classic feel to it, which is great for composing. So, another question I have for you: do you think it's easier to compose for a small orchestra or a large one?
For composing, it makes no difference.
Oh,
It's in
okay.
fact, it's probably no, that's not true. It's harder with a small orchestra.
Okay. And can you give me a reason why or explain that?
Yeah, because you know, lots of rough edges disappear in a large orchestra, and everything is much more exposed in a small group, so you can really hear the arrangement in crystal clarity. If you're just using a small string orchestra, for example, then you hear everything. If you've got a full sort of 65 or 75 piece orchestra, then there is so much energy whirling around in the room that the details don't matter so much. And you can have you can have your little flute flourishes of and you know your brass and your percussion sort of doing strange things, and it just sort of it all sort of blends very easily with a I mean that you know it's there's a reason that a full orchestra exists. A couple of hundreds of years of using the same kinds of groups have really sort of evolved that shape, so that it's a very satisfying shape that blends all the sounds very well. Whereas when you have a smaller ensemble, then the blend is something you actually have to really work at. So, yeah, I think the small group is more exposed and therefore requires greater concentration.
Ah, I see. So, my next question for you is there a genre of film that you would like to compose for?
Yes. Generally, the answer is whatever I didn't, the opposite of whatever I just did. That is, so, but more specifically, I would love it. I'd love to do an action film that really wanted a thematic score. Action films mostly don't. Mostly nowadays, they keep the melody has to stay out of the way, so they don't. They're not very tuneful. These contemporary action films, there's that YouTube video, the Marvel Symphonic Universe,
Oh,
which
yeah.
sort of it illustrates the point.
Yeah.
But I would love to do a full-on action film, which required and gave room for character and melody in the music, and also landscape films. Whenever there's a great breadth of landscape, there's a great opportunity to do something interesting in the music. And so I always like films with landscape. I did do a film called Charlie St. Cloud, mm-hmm. which sort of was in that ballpark. It wasn't particularly a landscape film, but it did have some lovely shots in it and great energy. And it absolutely gave me that room, that scope to play with some sweeping themes and that kind of thing. So that was great.
I always like hearing those type of themes and being able to see part of that type of scoring, because it really impresses upon you, say, the scope of how vast the landscape is, or, you know, it expands your thoughts on, you know, the music. And have you ever done like any documentaries on different things?
I've done a couple. It's been quite a long time since I last did a documentary. I did one called "Down the Spine of Japan," and which actually was not really a landscape. Well, it was a landscape film in some ways, but it was a TV documentary, so the mm-hmm. score was much smaller. But it was one man walking the length of Japan, avoiding all the cities.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was lovely, and it was a great opportunity to explore Japanese instruments and do some interesting things.
Well, that's really good. So, what are you currently working on?
Right now, I'm working on an immersive musical piece of theatre called The Heart of Winter, and I'm probably about to start a film, but and until I do, I better not talk about it.
Oh, I totally understand.
Yeah,
I totally get that.
Yeah,
because you know, certain projects you can't talk about. So I totally
right. I get. But that. I am looking forward in early next year. I've got a film coming out. Well, I haven't. I wrote some music for a film that's coming out, which is Magic Camp, which is a Disney film. Which is absolutely charming. It's one of my favorite directors, Mark Waters, and it's a great film because it's in the spirit of those old school Disney films, which were sort of old school Disney family films, which I'm trying to think how to describe it. Maybe I just shouldn't. I just think it's a charming film, and when I first watched it, by the end, I was nearly in tears. So it had an effect on me, and it's a beautiful film.
That's awesome.
And it comes out, I think, in April.
Nice. Well, I'll definitely look forward to that. So, Rolf, it has been a real pleasure to be able to interview you. I really enjoyed the conversation and being able to ask you these different questions and really getting into how you do your process, and that's always a joy to be able to share with.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure chatting.
Yeah, and I know you're very busy, and I hope the rest of your day goes well, and you can get back to your project.
Thank you very much.
All right, you have a good day.
You too.
All right, bye. So with interviewing Rolf Kent for the program, I was able to compile some music that I felt represents not only the movie Downsizing, but also some of his musical career. With Downsizing, the movie stars Matt Damon, and here's the basic plot. When scientists discover how to shrink humans to 5 inches tall as a solution to overpopulation, Paul, Matt Damon, and his wife Audrey, Kristen Wiig, decide to abandon their stressed lives in order to get small and move to a new downsized community, a choice that triggers life-changing adventures. The film is directed by Alexander Payne, and the movie also stars Christoph Waltz, Neil Patrick Harris, Jason Sudeikis, and Laura Dern. I put together a musical suite for us from the film, and I hope you enjoy it. It includes the main title, The World Amazed, The Downsizing Waltz, Thank You, Special Time, Paul Tends to Knock's Needs, and finally, it will be The Aeroplane Home, The Rain. So here it is. ¶¶
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to present a couple of cues from Kate and Leopold. The first one is called Let's Go. Leopold sees the completed bridge. You did so great, which is Kate's theme. And then, back in 1876, the waltz. I hope you enjoy this suite. It really shows off Rolf Kent's unique way of presenting different themes. Enjoy! Thank you.
bottle and everything was still beneath the moon. We thought your love would have shined for me. If I was smart as Aristotle and understood the rings around the moon, what would it all matter if you love me? Here in your arms with the world is impossibly still, with a million dreams to fulfill and a matter of moments until the dancing ends. Here in your arms when everything seems to be clear, not a solitary thing would I fear, except when this moment comes near the dancing's end. If I caught the world in an hourglass, saddled up the moon so we could ride until the stars grew dim, until one day you'll meet a stranger and all the noise is silenced in the room. You'll feel that you're close to some mystery. In the moonlight and everything shatters, you feel as if you've known her all your life. The world's oldest lesson in history. Here in your arms where the world is impossibly still, with a million dreams to fulfill and a matter of moments until the dancing ends. Here in your arms when everything seems to be clear, not a solitary thing do I fear, except when this moment comes near the dancing. If I caught the world in an hourglass, saddled up the moon, and we would ride until the stars grew dim, until the time that time stands still, until.
Lastly, and sadly, we've come down to another end of Soundtrack Alley. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I'll close out the show by thanking Rolf Kent for giving me the opportunity to interview him on my show. I'd also like to thank Alexander Schiebel for the excellent intro he composed for my show. You can find his work at xanderscores.com. You can find me at soundtrackalley.net, soundtrackalley.podbean.com, Facebook, Twitter, at randallandrews1, Instagram, and other social media sites. You can email me at soundtrackalley@yahoo.com. So the last suite I'll play for you today is from both Legally Blonde movies. Rolf Kent can be very whimsical, and I really enjoy that about his various scores. I hope you enjoyed this last suite, and until next time, happy listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Soundtrack Alley, the podcast. I hope you take the time to review my podcast on iTunes or even listen to it on Podbean. With your review, it helps me get noticed on iTunes. Thank you so much. Have a good day.